our microphones.
Oh, we should like work on like, you know, a cold open or something. So
a cold open.
So yeah, so people like,
what has this been for the last hour?
This is the coldest open you're gonna get.
Ice cold.
Completely fucking put your beer in that shit.
Hypothermia.
Can this be the cold open?
Chill wine. I do like, I think, if us being meta talking about a cold open, that could be the cold open.
It's pretty subversive. We're starting a new season.
Yeah.
Is it a new season?
So this is like, right. Well, this is like, I feel like, well, there was Dysphoria Dimes, Dysphoria Dead Names, RIP, and then we did like Dysphoria, and that was kind of just like me stealing Fag Talk's thing of, you know, it's a pretty self-explanatory concept, except when they did it on their own, they actually like talked about stuff, and I just like showed up after work and was bitter. Oh, it's a theme. But I'm trying to think of it when we're like, nope, this isn't just a new season or a new iteration.
This is Star Trek the Next Generation, baby.
You got the, yeah, I don't understand Star Trek, but.
What's not to understand?
Yeah, we've got Michael Bay in this.
All
shit.
I know about Star Trek is that Deep Space Nine is the best one.
Deep Space Nine is, in fact,
I'm
the best
let Liana
one.
In.
I'm in the last season now. I'm really, like, sad that I'm going to finish it. It's been, like, my bottom surgery show.
Okay. I'm gonna get these ladies moving. I'm going to try and mine some content.
Let's get back to the mines.
Honestly.
We were talking about erections.
Yeah. We were talking about my baby girl, Maggie. I love you so much, Angel. Oh. She listens to this. So.
That's really sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Maxwell's going to just cut all of this.
Wait, Red, are you gay? Or are you bisexual?
I'm like, it depends who I'm in at the time.
What about who's in you?
Damn.
Yeah.
Called out for being verse.
Is this your new bit? Is being verse like the new?
Being
why are you looking at me like that?
The new what? Finish the sentence.
I don't know. I don't know where the end was at.
That's okay. Let's change topics. Liv.
Yeah, what's up?
Bottom surgery.
What about it?
Would you do it again?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, can I answer also? Am I allowed?
Yeah, yeah, we should both answer.
This is the pussy side of the fucking table.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Welcome to pre-op and post-op.
Oh, my God, no.
Oh, good name
oh,
for
yo,
the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a killer fucking show.
Okay, anyway, ask us questions.
Wait, are you on as Gok Derrida, not Neo's vagina?
Oh, well, yeah, I should be on as Neo's vagina,
yeah.
Actually.
That is
yeah.
a hysterical
Can
dream.
I be Trinity's vagina?
Baby, you can
Sorry,
do whatever you want.
Really bad.
You can do whatever you want.
I didn't like
want.
That one at all.
No, no, it's okay. No, because the original meme that I made was
I love that one.
It's like Trinity is like, hey Neo, I'm getting my bottom surgery, and Neo's like, that's great, I'm so happy for you. And then she's like, afterwards we can still be polyamorous, right? And he's like, no way, baby. From now on, that's Neo's vagina.
Sorry, I shouldn't hit the table. That's so good. Have you seen this one?
Let me see. My top surgery went really well. That's great. I get bottom surgery. Yeah. I'm going to be honest.
Tell me.
I have never finished The Matrix, and I have very little interest in doing so because
like
I think it's
movie?
Ugly. Yeah, I think it's ugly.
That's a really weird take, Liv.
It looks so bad. It's all hacker green.
About?
I just
the
don't
only
like
while
it.
They're in The Matrix. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, but they're like in The Matrix a lot.
But it's like... Like, I'm not going to argue about it. If you don't find it aesthetically palatable, that just sucks to suck.
I just kind of like, I don't know. There's so many trans right. allegories.
The Matrix comes to me whenever I need it. I watched it 3 times the week I realized I was trans. I was like, yes, I need it.
You know
this.
What's a better trans allegory than The Matrix?
Tell me.
Shrek.
Why?
It is.
I'm not arguing against you. Tell me more.
I honestly... Matrix is... That was just some convenient shit they thought of later.
What do you mean?
They're like, you know what? That shit was like.
They're trans
Jesus.
Trenders.
They are. They're, the Wachowski
they turned the Matrix.
I really just don't believe it was a trans allegory.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
I don't believe that was their intention when they made the movies.
Well, no, but just because they didn't know that was the intention doesn't mean it isn't. There's actually a really great story, though, that. So, like.
There's actually a really good essay called Death of the Author, okay? Which states
no,
that it
Lana,
doesn't matter so if they meant it
Lana
to
knew. Lana knew that had like come out to herself at that point
yeah.
and was actually going to. So there's a scene. Can I talk about suicide?
Yeah.
So there's a scene.
Encouraged.
So she was going to commit suicide on a subway platform, And then decided, like, no, fuck it, I'm trans. I'm going to transition. And like,
I'm going to make The Matrix instead.
Well, I'm going to make The Matrix instead. And there's a scene at the end of The Matrix where Agent Smith is going to kill Neo in a subway platform. Mm-hmm. And he just keeps being like, Mr. Anderson, Mr. Anderson, Mr. Anderson. And the moment that Neo becomes the one and self-actualizes, he lifts Agent Smith off himself. He goes, no, my name is Neo. And then he flies the fuck away.
Literally saying, my name is New.
I'm just suspicious of messianic narratives, you know?
Yeah, as you should be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a read of it where, like, the point of the movie is, like, actually everybody is the one, and the point is that you have to realize your own potential. And it's actually really cheesy and
simple.
Then
I'm against it because it sounds individual.
Also, Jesus.
Yeah, that guy.
He was a pretty strong.
He's come up a lot tonight.
Yeah, Jesus on the mind. Yeah. Feeling very Christ-like today.
Who else is seeking religion in the end of time?
So Jesus got... I am Catholic, and I forgot all of this stuff because holes in my brain. But
Jesus mm-hmm. was the guy who they put up.
put him?
Okay, so he got resurrected. Like, he got murked, then he got resurrected because Easter, you know?
Yeah,
and,
there was
a cave and a rock and stuff, and he came. But then what happened to him again? Like, what happened after that?
What do you mean?
He just ascended?
He just went up
to
heaven.
Okay, to be by the right hand of
like, well, then he's going to come back.
I just like the idea that they just, like, spun the block and just, like, caught him again.
No, but you make a good point, because so much of the Easter narrative is really, like, tied into the physicality of all of it. Like, there's such an emphasis put on the physical suffering.
Also, his physical absence from the tomb. Also, the ways they anointed his body before the ceremony. Also, even before his death, like, how his spear was pushed through him. Like, all of the emphasis is on, like, how the Son of God wasn't... Well, kind of.
Sorry.
It's only horror if you don't, like, you know, rib fucking. But I forgot my train of thought. There's a lot of emphasis on, like you were saying, physicality.
Yeah. And then he just kind of disappears on, like, a ray of sunshine or whatever. And I think that's kind of a lame ending, to be honest.
Well, we sacrificed body for spirit, no?
Can I sim for Christianity real quickly?
Oh.
I'm not a Christian.
I know, except for Christianity, though.
All I'm saying is that, like, it's a dual nature thing, right? Like, he's both physical and, like, the Son of God. It's not like he was just a dude. That's mm-hmm. the whole point, right? Is, like, at the end of it, they do all of these physical things to him, but it doesn't matter. He ascends anyway. He's not just, like, a flesh and blood human. He's God made flesh and blood.
Yeah, actually, I like that take. I follow you.
Thank you.
I think that's cool.
I don't think we're going to have a prayer session this time on Dysphoria, because...
We did last time, didn't we?
We did last time.
Because we were eating.
We just said grace by not speaking. We did a silence test.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did. Wow. The one time you can get us all to shut up.
The OG silence test.
We won't be doing that this time because... my girlfriend got very upset that we were chewing on the podcast last time.
I was also upset in real time. I was like, oh, this is going to be really annoying.
It is. Should we start with introductions?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm loving all the structure in this. this is our, who are you?
Oh God, that's so much pressure.
Oh my God. Sup, I'm Maxell. I did a bunch of other podcasts using the same RSS feed and got bitter and then stop doing them, and I owe you Patreon money. Please don't harass me on Field. What happened? I'll explain later.
Please. Hi, listeners. My name's Rad. I have an Instagram page. It's mostly personal, but I invite you to come into my little world.
Making your Instagram sound like it's Bob Ross, but it's like you hunting deer and then showing the open guts and story.
Are y'all dropping Instagram names or
not?
I'm not going to.
I meant the memers. No.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Not a memer.
Not the helpers. Not the people that help.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry.
Anyway, my name's Red. That's pretty much all I got. All of interest.
Oh, the new co-host.
I'm the new co-host of Dysphoria.
Just the concept.
It's you invented dysphoria. Yeah. That's crazy.
I didn't invent it, but I did master it. I did. They say it takes 10,000 hours to truly like master something.
But you got it in 10.
20 by age 7. 40 by age 8. A child prodigy of feeling really weird and bad and not knowing why.
I love you so much.
I love you too.
I love you.
My at is consider theft. If you follow me, you can sit in my purgatory of like 200 follow requests of people who I don't know. I let you sit there so you can't just ask me again. I did that back in like the 8th grade on Facebook when like the popular kids would follow me and I was pretty sure it was just to like make fun of me. And I felt some aspect of power by, rather than denying or accepting the request, suspending them on a thin digital string in front of me. And I would like kind of look at them every day and go, no, I will not accept or deny it.
You give them nothing to laugh at then.
Exactly. I'm like, water.
Should I intro?
Yeah.
Please.
Okay. I'm Liv. I'm around.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not around that much because of disability, but we'll get into that. But I have an Instagram called... I have so many Instagrams, it's dumb. But I have an Instagram called Neo's Vagina. N-E-O-S. Yeah, Vagina.
It's one of the best accounts on the... It's like, I hate the platform, but it's a good account.
It's a little meme account about bottom surgery and about how having bottom surgery is really complicated and... painful and long, depending on you as a person. Some people do well. I had a hard time. And I know some stuff. It's hard. It's hard. I know some stuff about medicine. I work at, I shouldn't say exactly where I work, but I work in healthcare. I have half a master's in exercise science, and I am really woo-woo about my pelvic floor. So, yeah, you can come follow my account, and, I think one of my most recent posts is just the word vagina, so it's, like, pretty good.
Was
it you that made the AI succession script?
Yeah, oh my god, yeah, me and Hazel made ChatGPT write a succession script. It was really fun.
It was pretty brilliant.
Yeah.
I'll
we can come back. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
I can intro. Hi, my name is Sasha. I'm also about the pelvic floor now. I am not gonna... I don't... Two pussies enter, one pussy leaves. I'm around. I have musical projects and poetry and stuff, but you will find out about that if you're trying to find out about that, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I have really a relevant story that's going to be published. I just found out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Wow, did you ever read that one awesome. I wrote that was like about the girl whose vagina falls apart?
I think you read an excerpt.
When you say falls apart.
Like falls apart.
That's when you say falls apart.
Like it turned, it just comes into strips of like shredded flesh hanging from her groin.
Okay.
There's self-fisting as well. I'm excited about
it. So there's still a hole.
There's a hole.
Well, there's always a hole.
There's actually three holes. Not everyone knows
silent
this.
Partner.
But you pee from a different hole.
Oh shit, I gotta charge my
Do you think we can still order energy drinks?
Yeah, we can order whatever we want.
I don't think I have the literal physical space on my phone to download DoorDash.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Then like,
then natal vaginas. Yeah, but it's actually kind of sick because like, it's like can be like it can be like erogenous. You know what I mean?
I don't. I have not fucked with that.
Listeners, we have a listeners. Listeners. We have a third mystery guest on the podcast.
A third mystery guest.
Polycule.
So true.
I'm just going to say it. If poly people want to be taken seriously, they need to stop saying polycule. And I say this as a
person. That's very polycule. I never self-identify as poly. I have lovers. I have hoes. I'm out here fucking. I do not say I'm poly. I will be like, oh, my girlfriend. And I would much rather people say which one, which feels like, you know,
pretty cool
mm-hmm. than if someone goes, oh, yeah, you're metamorph.
Well, polycule is different. So I feel like
yeah.
This is my thing because you can't. It's not Pokemon, you know. Like it's not.
Well, it's not.
A polycule is a descriptor. So like whether or not you choose to identify.
Oh,
as a poly
I know.
Girl,
I'm not.
It is like
the second you're
can
poly
be bestowed on you. Also, yeah. I think that like I agree. I mean, I think poly is a fucking horrible.
Well, I also think
term.
Like
it's a bad.
Oh, I love it. I'll defend it.
But like transvestic fetishist is
bad.
That?
Bad branding on that one.
Oh,
but, like,
I'm a huge fan.
Sasha, defend poly.
Polyamory.
Yes.
Defend polyamory.
But yes. I think it's like you can't like be like, no, I am doing a new, cool, different thing.
Oh, that's no, not that's what I'm saying.
No, no, no. I'm saying, you know, when you're like, oh, no, it's I'm not poly. I'm.
So speaking of polyamory, this loops in for our first topic for the evening.
Oh.
Earlier this week, I was scrolling Instagram, as I never do, because otherwise I leave.
Yeah, you're too busy fucking girls and riding your motorcycle.
That's right. That's what I'm, if hogs. I'm not. Listeners, if I am not making love or riding my motorcycle
or cranking your hog,
or cranking my hog, I am pensively staring at the sea.
Also, shooting
in Michigan.
You're kind of like in the general, just like hot girl business.
The thing is, the hobbies that I advertise and that I talk to people about occupy a good 30% of my time. The rest of that time, I really do rot in my room or like eat all the pork pot stickers. Like, I don't. It's, I don't know. Anyway, I was on a website, and I think I actually want to just, like, pull up
Isn't
the quote text.
Isn't Are apps websites?
Can access it via browser?
I know you can, but it doesn't have the full functionality. Like, is an app a website? Like, is, I guess, like, I feel like the website is secondary.
Yeah, keep bullshitting. I'm gonna pull
yeah,
up. I'm
I don't think
I mean,
so.
They're, socially, they're different constructs.
Like,
God,
can,
I'm so annoyed.
You can go to www.instagram.com.
Are we gonna do respectability politics?
We're gonna do respectability politics.
Let me get my
F- I out. May. I'm. There's a very good chance that I delete it. No, I found it.
I know.
Okay. Red, I wrote down the quotes from the other day, so I have those ready.
I'm gonna start with the first volley. That she did.
Can we just? I want to acknowledge that, like, because I don't want to do that thing where you cite, like, I mean, we are citing someone with no clout.
We're not going to identify this.
No,
person.
No, I know, but I mean, like I want to just acknowledge that this is like a sentiment that you thought about and like posted about, and it's not like.
We're,
I don't know.
We're not in debate
like
with
a
specific
like,
person.
Rage baiting, where it's like, hey, like. You see, like, five people tweet about one thing and then, like, act like it's a movement, you know?
So this isn't necessarily a movement. I think it's an undercurrent of sentiment. Indicative of an undercurrent of sentiment. Because the thoughts indicative of an undercurrent of sentiment. What a sentence. The thoughts that this girl expressed are, like, I feel like quietly present in the corners of a lot of trans femme community. But the gist of what she did, and I am going to do a little bit of rage bait and just read out what this one person said to give us sort of an illustration of what they were thinking. But the gist of what she said was, you, as a trans woman, need to lock in and stop going outside without shaving your face and wearing sweatpants and looking schlubby. And not voice training, and not getting FFS, and not plucking your brows.
Did
not
she say specifically FFS?
She didn't.
Okay.
But
you bitches, because
I'd have,
because
I would no, because I would have a lot of thoughts on that. Actually,
it's not necessarily that as much as it is. She implied that the end culmination of all of these things is we're being genocided, and you have to do all of these things, otherwise, quote, real trans women. Are going to get killed. And what do we think about that?
Wait, first, can I just say, did she use genocide?
Yes,
yeah, she did use
because
that.
Because I'm not trying to be like told you so, but I just remember I was very anti using that language, like, you know, a year ago, because I understand that the dictionary...
Vis-a-vis trans people?
Yeah.
Or just in general?
About trans people, mm-hmm. About what was going on, because... I understand that the dictionary definition of genocide doesn't necessarily mean like what's happening right now, but everyone has an association with the word. It's like if you say molest or something, like people think of one thing. And I was like, I think that that's maybe like, I'm not, no, I was, I guess I was like, it wasn't like I was like, you shouldn't do this, it's harmful. But I was like, this just makes me roll my eyes. And I think it's like, people are just going to be like, oh, you're women being hysterical because it's not. And now I haven't really heard as many people use that terminology. And I was, it's, I mean,
well, I think there's a reason for that.
That's what I'm saying. Right now, it's like, I was like, yeah, I don't want to be like, it just always, I was like, no, people think of one thing and it's very real. And maybe the systemic elimination of our freedoms is that, but not the best word for it.
Can I jump in? Because I have thoughts.
Because I'm annoying.
No, you're not annoying.
No.
I think you're making a really good point. I think
I wasn't trying to.
I think it's particularly gauche right now for trans people.
Especially in the trans people.
Yeah, I think it's particularly gauche right now for like white trans people with means to call the rising anti-trans sentiment in the country genocide. A, because of the kind of like genocide happening in Palestine beyond real, you know, real description, and the kind of like other genocides happening in other places in the world. But I think also it feels gauche to me because when you talk about genocide, like, I actually think there's something to be said for the idea that the conditions of being trans in America can have an effect of, like, eliminating or, like, but I think that...
Suppressing trans life.
Here's my basic thing, is that I think there's a lot of white trans people who come from very stable homes, and I'm including myself in this because this is like an arc that I went through where being trans is kind of the first bad thing that ever happened to them. You know what I mean? Like, like being trans.
Like, oh shit, I'm a minority now.
Yeah. Like, it's like not fun when you're not transitioning, but it's kind of like, it's the first time you've ever been in a situation where it's like, oh, the world at large, like, doesn't like me and kind of wishes I didn't exist. And I think, understandably, when you go through that, like, you get mad because, like, it's, you're right, the world shouldn't treat you that way. But I think sometimes people don't realize or get stuck before they realize that, like, that's actually how, like, most of the world lives.
can we pause for 1 second? Even in the middle of, Wolf just hit us up and was like, hey, do we need anything from the store? And she's got a big-ass backpack. I know it's...
No, it's okay.
We went from like spinning the block on Jesus to...
Yeah, this is kind of, this is, yeah.
But no.
I also never got to read my rage bait.
Oh yeah.
Was that not the rage bait?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I jumped right in right away.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. I feel like the thoughts that you are articulating are much more like substantial than reading what was coming from this random...
We also
got to
hear from our rage bait.
I do think we got to get that rage bait.
We'll get there. I mean, my whole thing is like, when you think about how trans women lived in, like, go on.
Can we figure out the order? Because I don't want to just... I want to clip the part where we order food out.
Okay. Maybe, I'm asking for some Red Bulls.
I'm good. I'm going to bed after this.
I don't think I need anything.
What do you want? Let's be specific. We need a...
Peach Red Bulls or the standard ones.
Like,
just not...
One?
I want two, and they cannot be sugar-free.
Can you grab two non-sugar free? I'm leaving this in.
And from the water. Okay. Actually, please.
Can you grab two non-sugar free?
It has your shaved arm.
Peach Red Bulls.
Fake lesbian.
I mean,
a big water.
I'd be out here like,
yeah.
I mean, I haven't in a second.
A
bottle
of, a can of C4.
I haven't shaved any part of my body since surgery.
Or yerba mate.
Listeners, me and Sasha are holding hands across the table. It's really sweet because she's a very good friend of mine that I only get to see like once every 2 years.
I actually was thinking about this earlier. I was like, I feel like it's like every 6 months.
Every 6 months. I've been referring to it as my biannual New York trip.
Cool? I love it. I'm a big fan.
I should probably just start saying Brooklyn trip because I took Kaya on the bike to Manhattan yesterday and just felt this deep black well of hatred just bubbling in me. Some I had her on the back, and we were at a random light. Like,
where were you in Manhattan?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
I don't think it's just clear.
We were upstate, and we were visiting Red, and it was like. Me and some other people, me and my roommates, were getting really autistic about like the delineations between like Chelsea and the West Village and Greenwich Village, and Red just like Red's like, does it matter?
Let's not forget about what we're doing. I'm sorry.
We want to get back to the discourse.
Can I read the prompt, or did Liv? Do you want to go?
I can briefly wrap up what I was saying, which is just I think that so much of what actually is, like, the genocide, again, like, that term carries, like Maxell said, a really specific image, but I do think that, like, in terms of just the, like, the negative impacts of having to deal with, like, the U.S. healthcare system as a trans person, having to deal with, like, employment and housing and, like, at my job, these are the things that people need help with more than anything is, like, housing, access to food, access to paying for their medications, and all of these things get harder when you're trans, and they also are harder if you're not white, if you're not able-bodied, if you're like experienced reality is like different than the consensus reality, like all of these things are the things that like impact the physical health and well-being of trans people in a really serious way and lead to that like cumulative stress that creates chronic illness and chronic pain and like, you know, suicide obviously is like a big one whenever you talk about trans people. People love to like throw that at trans people, right? And it's kind of like, yeah, being a trans person, especially if you don't have money and like the world already is primed to not like you because of the color of your skin or because of how you like move through the world, like it gets even fucking harder. And so that's why I think it's like really gauche when like white trans women with money and, like, the ability to, like, get their hormones from folks or what, I don't know. Like, you know, like, the ones who aren't, like, their hormone care is not going to get fucked up because, like, I don't know. Like, the people who have access to this stuff, it makes me mad to see them be like, we're being genocided because it's like, you're not.
I think that's a... Okay, so, like, I mean, I think that is very real. Like, oh, welcome to being marginalized, you know? And obviously... That doesn't change any, you know, that doesn't change transphobia existing and being a huge fucking problem or, you know, like access to medical care. It doesn't like.
It's like you shouldn't have to deal with transphobia, right?
Exactly.
But you're not like, it's not the only thing in the world.
And I think that, you know, like, and then, just like with the term genocide and stuff like that, it's like you could make that that has been happening to pretty much everyone that's poor, everyone that's not,
I think once you start getting into the nitty gritty of it, like it becomes a scale. You like get into the thing of talking about it as a scale more than an absolute.
And I think, sorry.
Oh, that's it.
I think that there's, you know, like obviously there's space to let people grieve and let people have these things. And, you know, like it's fucking scary and shocking when somebody gets murdered for looking like you, you know? And it like just because a lot of other people are used to that, or not used to it, but subjected to that on a daily basis, doesn't take away from what your experience. But I will say that sometimes I feel like that I see these people and, their like activism or whatever, or their Instagram personality is like, they know, it's almost like they know that they can't just post about trans stuff. So, I'm also not saying it's bad that they feel required to do this. So like, you know, a couple years ago, it'd be just trans stuff and then Black Lives Matter. And now it's just trans stuff in Palestine. It's like a 1-6 ratio. I can't prove that number, but I've noticed it. And it's still good that they're talking about those things, you know. I'm not like, why don't you just be way more of a selfish bitch? I also don't think it's fair for me to say that they don't care about those things. But there is just a moment where it's like, I think you just like, you know, obviously, like white bitches such as myself, you know, are probably have the most reflection to do. But also it's just like, I think it's important to think about, like, are you just talking about yourself the entire time? You know, as opposed to having a podcast where you talk about
yourself. I mean, the thing that gets me about this take, like, the fact that we're even talking about genocide at all is kind of like we've already, like, because to me, there's something like sort of like smaller and pettier about the whole sentiment. And that's just that, like, whoever this girl is or whoever, you know, this whole sentiment is like, it's transphobia, right? It's internalized transphobia. It's just like this, let's straw man it for just a minute. But like, you know, this girl hates herself.
Straw woman. Mm-hmm.
It's the straw woman.
But according to her.
So true. You know, this hypothetical woman hates herself, and she hates other trans people, and seeing other trans people reminds her that she hates herself, and mm-hmm. so she externalizes her insecurities onto them, and then she makes it into a grander political problem when it's actually a much smaller, and it's a real thing, and it's a sad thing, but like, you're insecure and you're whatever, and like, but like, I'm sorry you're clocky, and I'm sorry that clocky women exist. We happen to be beautiful. And like,
you looked at me when you said that.
I was looking.
No one in this room knows the person I'm talking about.
Okay, there's that one crazy bitch.
Oh, listeners, the myth that you can, quote, do things without hurting anyone, end quote, as a trans person is going to get us all killed. For every poly, trans, puppy girl, or NB drag queen.
Can we pause right now? And I was really getting into it. I'm sorry, but can I say, this made me so mad. If you want to point at drag, if you're going to be like, drag is the...
Her entire take is ahistorical. Let me finish. We got three more screenshots.
Oh, I'm so... Continue.
I'm going to start her from the beginning. No.
Oh, no.
Or NB drag queen, or whatever. There is an actual trans woman elsewhere just wanting to get through life, but having to face the repercussions of your actions. Next slide. This is just a series of publicly posted Instagram stories. These were maybe broadcast to an audience of, I don't know, 37 people, all of whom got really pissed off. Next slide. We should prioritize the lives of trans women over your ability to be weird. Last slide. These were all posted over the course of like 48 hours. I have never seen more women in Michigan like just get fucking angry. It was really funny.
What about the music festival?
What music festival? What music?
Michigan Women's Music Festival.
Oh my god.
Shout out to Leslie Feinberg.
Oh my god. Keep going. Go ahead, Rev. You gotta finish this.
Next post. Trans women, I understand that you want to be yourself, that you see cis women do things like go to the store in sweatpants and no makeup and think you should be allowed to do the same. But that's just not how this works. You are a trans woman. Am I reading into it too much?
No, I love this.
You are a trans woman. Everyone thinks you are just a man in a dress. And if that's what you present as, you are going to get killed or cause another girl's death. You have to grow the fuck up and be a goddamn woman for your sake and your sister's. Stop being a freak. You are killing us. I want a first comment.
Okay.
You are a trans woman. Everyone thinks you are just a man in a dress? Incorrect. Everyone thinks I am just a man wearing pants, usually.
Mm, yeah, very French. Pants, really. Oh, no.
Oh, fuck.
Also, the outfit she describes is specifically sweatpants.
I love that.
It's
not matching.
I feel like I don't even have rage for that. I pity her, you know?
It just makes me sad.
She's young. She is clearly deeply internalized transphobia, like Sasha has said. And it's very easy when you have internalized transphobia to want to lash out at the people closest to you.
Yeah.
I guess I have a couple of things to say about that. One, for the person herself, I feel terrible. And I don't mean that in like, I pity you. I mean, like, I actually, that really sucks. It's a hard, I'm.
It's gotta be much, hard to be
yeah,
inside
like I am a depressed bitch, yeah. But like, you know.
Not that deep.
Yeah, no, but I mean like, I get called like little Xana every day, and I'm pretty fucking happy. Like, when I was non-binary, I remember the sock thing. The original.
Oh, wow.
The original. No, not before it became like a fucking like cultural touchstone of like, you know, like before it was.
I don't know that I'm familiar with this.
Before it was supposed to have meaning, when it was just like, it was just like, how do you know I'm non-binary? Bitch, your name is Sock.
Oh.
And okay, like I remember like literally almost crying. You know, I wasn't upset with the meme. I thought the meme was fucking hysterical. But I was like, wow, I am like so embarrassed by like this community that I'm part, you know, like I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I didn't go and tell people that, you know, like you're going to fucking get murked for listening to Girlpool or something. But like, and I love Girlpool, but like, you know what I mean? Is that like, it made me, it really fucking, I don't know. It struck a chord is also a good non-binary name, but, and I will say, so like, it's, we all like have the experience, you know, like powerlessness, me in a 12 step sense. It's the rage of being absolutely powerless about shit. But what's funny about the sweatpants thing is like, I don't know if it was like Whitney Cummings or some cis lady comedian. She had a whole joke. I'll clip it in, but she was talking about, she's like, I know this trans woman. Like, I have a trans friend. She's so fucking annoying. And I actually liked hearing this kind of guy. She's like, she just tells me like how, she's like, you know how hard it is? Some man on the internet just told me to kill myself today. And I'm like, honey, that's being a woman. And then she was just saying, but like, she was just like going off on it. And she was like, you know, like, she's like, women today dress like fucking teenage boys. Like, we were wearing this blah. We're at like a Checkers and you're dressed like Jessica Rabbit. And I actually thought that was really funny because in some ways, like, in some ways dressing, I get a lot of times when I wear like baggy stuff and like whatever, I get she'd more because the juxtaposition.
The idea that the reason we get shit is because we don't perfectly perform femininity.
Oh, that's
is
insane.
Like,
because
laughable.
Also, a lot of trans femmes need to realize that society fucking hates cis women too.
Yeah.
Sure, and cis women fear for their lives a lot. No, and I don't see that acknowledged enough, honestly.
My first year of transitioning, I was dating a cis person who turned out to be like, I don't know. Anyway.
Really good.
She was great. But I was kind of like, my thing for that year was being like, I don't even like care about cis feminism because like whatever cis women are going through, it's worse for trans women. Which was like a terrible, that's such a bad take. Like, I'm so deeply embarrassed by that take. But like,
I actually really do think that like, feminism became choogy or whatever. I love that word. I know it. I think that word is just a trick on millennials from Zoomers like 2 years ago. But like, it became so gauche or so like,
no, but
you know, like, oh, like support female Ghostbusters or like, you know, all the stuff before the election that everyone was like, no, we have to find them. Like, we have to make up for it by like ignoring some basic tenets of it. And then there's just trans, like younger trans girls just like fucking slut shaming each other or like acting so entitled to each other's bodies. And it's just like, just please read like Rebecca Solnit.
No,
or
yeah,
Hooks
like
or
we,
something,
we
you know.
Know.
Just the most, oh, we the fucking, oh, Bell Hooks was a landlord crowd. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
I mean, just because, well, don't get me started. It's something I just want to say about this whole thing in general, the thing that gets me about it is like, this is, and you want to talk about, like, you were talking about, like, it's a historical, you know, putting some historicity into it. This problem is perennial. And, like, you can read, like, Sandy Stone goes into it, like, the history, you know, we'll go into the history of this. There's one of my favorite bits, one of the best movies ever made is Funeral Parade of Roses. It's about, like, trans girls in the 1960s in Tokyo. And there's, it's like the artsy, like whatever film that they like interview the actors like in between scenes and they like talk about being trans in Japan at the time. And some of them were like, yeah, some people are just being trenders about it and they make the rest of us look bad. And I'm like,
it never changes.
It never changes. The thing is, this is with among other minority groups too, where it's like, oh, like they're making us look bad. The problem is like, right, which, like, then feeds into model minority shit, where it's like, okay, if we just, like, really good about it, then, like, we won't get genocided or we won't get, like, whatever, which is just so inane to me.
I just think it's funny because it's, like, the same trans people are so concerned about posers. Like, it's like it's literally like
well, it's built into how we're talked about, you know.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
this intrinsic
true.
Idea that but like, it's just being like cis is the default and that being trans is something or, that we would have to be
even
so bad.
This is so built into how people talk about transness. I think partly at least because of how built into trans medicine it is, but mm-hmm. this idea mm-hmm. that like people are going to fake being trans, and I think like the idea that that's like a trans trender is a new concept is absurd because, like, I mean, it's not really even like talked about that much anymore, but like, you know, you go back to like, fuck, like, as long as there's been trans medicine, there's been people being like, well, are you really trans?
Well, and it's a transsexuality on... is a concept that exists in relation to medical institutions.
Like, but like the way that, historically it was decided who would actually get access to hormones, right? Like, yeah. It was very much the psychiatrist being like, are you actually trans? Which most cases meant, do I want to fuck you?
would you make a pre-roll?
The no, fucking, that's not... the bit, the, like, Ray Blanchard, like, describing trans women being like, I'm not, I mean, like, they're really hot, but, like, I'm not attracted to them.
I'm actually not exaggerating, like... when I say that, I'm not exaggerating. Like, there's a lot of, like, interviews with, like, sexologists, quote-unquote, who worked with transsexual patients, and they were like actual recorded interviews of them saying like, yeah, I consider the like physical attractiveness of the patient in terms of diagnosis, like whether I'm diagnosing, like that's the thing is they were so unabashed about it, you know what I mean? And like in general, like the medical establishment is so happy to like just yeah, treat us like we're liars.
It's a surface level take, but probably one other thing affecting it is if you're looking at transition in terms of medical outcome, you gauge a successful one by being, will this person be an attractive woman?
That was the initial standard. That was actually the initial like clinical standard of like, should you give this person hormones? One of the considerations was supposed to be like, will this person pass and reintegrate into society?
Ooh, the it's not which, gay bro, when he puts on a dress, he really looks like an index.
Yeah. Fucking well, J. Michael Bailey.
I might be talking out of my ass here. I think the Sexology Institute in Germany, the thing.
Institute of Sexology.
Yeah, yeah. They had... I might be conflating things, but like it was a thing with like some bottom surgery clinics would like have like we're also gonna have like lessons on like how to be a woman for you so that you can like integrate in society, which also like there's stuff here too about surgery.
Yeah.
Like specifically about bottom surgery. Which like is not, to my mind, doesn't seem to be in the cultural consciousness as much, but feels like it's kind of there in the background. Because I don't know if you've had the, I feel like you have actually, but like getting surgery has put me a lot closer to those kind of takes, mm-hmm. And to a lot of trans women that hate themselves. That it's like, not maybe I shouldn't even say takes, but a lot of internalized transphobia and mm-hmm. a lot of like, I need the surgery to be a woman kind of thing.
Well, yes, yeah. I think that it's a really tough kind of. There's not really a good way to. There's not a right answer to this because can I have permission to go for a little while on
you
a
can,
thing?
You can go for a little while. I want to give the listeners a preview of some of the other topics we have tonight, including top three people you would punch in the face. Yes.
Thank you.
We got the better studio. Okay.
How could that possibly be right?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was for the other one.
They were laughing at something different.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's still wrong for the other one, but I appreciate the, like, incredulity. Like, it's not even, like, entertained.
We're running, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We're off the books. I just always wanted to say that.
What context?
Any context, clearly.
I don't really have any. The main thing I wanted to say was this fucking girl... Who clearly, I don't even know her name. She lives somewhere around me, somewhere in my state. That's all I'm gonna say.
Let's probably not talk. I mean, yeah. It's irrelevant, right?
She talks about all this shit and passability and femininity. She looks like everyone else. She's not even pretty enough to, like, if you were to buy in, justify to the meanness, you know?
But that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it comes from this place of, like... Which, like, I don't know. Like, here's the thing. Is, like, frustrations with transition are real, and, like, dysphoria is real, and, like, all these things. But, like, you just... The thing is, like, taking it out on other trans women... doesn't actually do anything.
Or pretending like the source of your misery is other trans women. Or the poly one really does piss me off. Not because I consider myself like an ardent proponent of poly, but because, and this is cringy, but I love multiple people. I've been...
This is my defense of polyamory as a term.
I truly, genuinely love multiple people. I'm engaged to a beautiful woman. Shout out, Carta. I love you. And there's a girl who, with Carta's, like, blessing and encouragement, I fell in love with. This girl in British Columbia. And, like, I didn't know it was possible to love someone in this capacity so deeply. And, like... I was reflecting on that while I was holding this girl, and I was like, you think this is why people hate us? Like, you think that me, like, loving multiple women is, like, the reason why all this grief is happening? And if I stopped doing that, it would improve our cause somehow? It just gets so infuriating when you're like, sitting with your lover, when you're, like, wrapped up in the arms of another person, and then you think right now, somewhere, somehow, there is someone who thinks that's evil. That is morally wrong. Like, it feels almost reductive to talk about it. It feels like the people who were shocked that being gay in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, that, like, oh, but it's just love. How confusing. Like, it feels that overworked and over-talked about. I don't know. It's just incredibly asinine and frustrating to me. I and it, like, just always, like, thunders back towards me when I'm, like, in bed with a lover. It's the girl listening.
I don't know what a transgender is, but I love my God and my country, and this is how an old woman taught me to talk when I was voice training.
Liv, could you do that with your voice training now?
Could I do what?
That with your voice training now?
This is, what do you mean with my voice training?
That's what she's doing.
This is my voice training voice. Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing.
My teacher said I was the best student she ever had. And now I talk like this.
It's not, like...
It's not much of a modicum of difference.
Trans women talking about their own voices is a very unique, I don't know. I just, like...
It's just she taught me a quality of, like, speaking really airy and really without a lot of emphasis and with a lot of musicality. And it's can be quite limiting when you're trying to just, like, express your feelings.
Yeah, because it's, like, passive, right?
Yeah. Volume. Yeah.
When I was riding my bike the other day, I hit a pothole really fucking hard.
Y'all, and Red rides a motorcycle.
My God, does Red ride a motorcycle?
I hit a pothole really hard, and I went, oh! And then I got dysphoric because of the noise that I made when, like...
No, sorry, go ahead.
That was pretty much it.
I have a similar story. Back when I had my scooter, I was going down, I shouldn't have been doing this in the first place, but I was riding down Atlantic Avenue at night in the rain.
Baller.
And I'm in the right lane because I'm like, you know, like filtering to the front at lights and stuff. And then this woman in a giant like Cadillac makes a right out of the middle lane, which she shouldn't have been doing, but I shouldn't have been going fast in the rain at night on Atlantic Avenue in the right lane. So like, and we're both fucked up on a moped. But so like, I didn't have enough time to brake, so I had to lay her down. but when I got up, like when I was picking my bike up, I was like, and there were like a couple of people in the corner who had seen it, and I was like, fuck, did they just clock me?
On Atlantic Avenue. Oh no, clocked on Atlantic
clocked
Avenue.
Clocked on clocked at the moped accident on Atlantic Avenue.
It could happen to you.
You've got like a double femur fracture and you're like, damn, did they just clock me?
Actually, I was fine. Yeah. I like bruised my knee a little bit. I actually was wearing these, no wait, different jeans. But the jeans I wore to ride today, I was wearing them, not a scratch on them.
Were you wearing a helmet?
I was wearing a helmet. You should always wear a helmet.
You should always, except if it's like
unless
not
it's
that
really
far.
Nice out.
If it's really nice out and not that far, or you know,
it's like a lot of exceptions to a very core rule.
I'm trying to work through them.
Unless you're really angry.
You're really angry. If you're upset, get on your motorcycle.
Just get on the motorcycle. Crank that throttle. Wind therapy, baby. Throttle therapy.
Fuck a pre-check.
There's so many, there's like a whole genre of music, of like YouTube videos that are like, why men who ride motorcycles don't need therapy.
Like, oh my god.
Goddamn, bro, like, I've never heard a more I need therapy statement.
If you gotta say I don't need it and make like a YouTube video about it, then you might need it.
Why men with firearm collections of over 10 don't need therapy.
Oh my god, wait, 10. No, you know what, you're just describing my dream man, Robert Evans.
I want
from Behind the Bastards.
Fuck, what's his name? Oh my god, there's this like Ron Perlman. No, not Ron Perlman. Ron Perlman looked like he was cooked too long. He looked like he was a handsome man that someone put in an oven.
What are you talking about? Ron Perlman is the most attractive man ever invented.
Okay, baby, it's okay. It's okay. We don't do comp head here. It's okay.
You don't have to say it.
Yeah. I just because, like, how else would Ron Perlman be at the top of your list?
You mean?
Jesus. What's his name? This guy. Wow. This guy.
Oh my god, we're still talking about this guy.
I can barely see him, but he looks hot.
He is hot.
If Freddie Mercury was a UFC fighter.
The mustache, like, gets me every single time.
The mustache fucking gets
I
me.
Love
I'm
men
like,
with
oh,
a mustache.
You would eat ass.
I did like the Red showed me a video of
a man who can grow an actual mustache, I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I dated a guy once that had a real scraggly one, and he was so sweet.
You
but
know,
he was also
could grow an actual mustache? Me.
That's severe. Huh?
I could grow. I had a bush back in the day. I had a fucking 10-gallon hat. Shit.
You're getting me hot and bothered over here.
Sometimes I think about, like, when my girlfriend is like, damn, this guy's really attractive. I'm like, baby, don't you worry about that. And I think about, like, disappearing for a month and then, like, coming back and being like, hey.
What's up?
I'm Reddick.
Reddick. How much thought went into that? Is that
that was improv. That was off the cuff.
No, but really? Are you sure that hasn't secretly been in the back of your head, like, planning your escape?
My D-trans. No, the thing is,
it's your pro-trans.
There's gotta be a phrase for, like, D-transing but staying on estrogen and still considering yourself a woman.
Yeah, me during the pandemic.
Honestly, that could be an interesting topic of conversation. I think it's, like...
I think D-trans is cool. I think the idea that, like, I don't know, it's not like a fucking one-sum game, and that you can just move in and out, and like that doesn't intrinsically make you a failure or a success. It just means you're willing to be honest with your.
One of the biggest things that was stopping me from pulling the trigger on bottom surgery for a while actually was being like, what if I can't get access to estrogen? Because, you know, that shit is not particular. I don't know if, like, by the time the pandemic was happening, I'd been on E for a little while, but there was I don't know if this was before most people started transitioning or not. I think it was, like, right, Because, you know, there is that whole wave.
Call out the pandemic babies.
And like, well, here's the thing. Like, it's a real thing. And, like...
No, I'm part of that. That's actually why I'm being...
There's an entire social cohort. I'm part
of that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing, but it's also
kind of... I was non-binary
of,
beforehand, though.
I've had some moments with, like, with pandemic trannies where... And I don't have a lot of room to talk on
trandemic.
This. I started trandemicking. I was going for 2 years before the pandemic hit, so I don't have a ton of room. But... Mm. Actually, I don't even. But my point is, right at the beginning of the pandemic, there was an estrogen shortage where you just like couldn't get bottled estrogen for a while, and it was shit like that that made me be like, I don't know if I want to get bottom surgery because what if I can't get access to estrogen, and like, wouldn't I then want to be able to have testosterone? And it took me actually like doing some research and finding studies that said like, actually male eunuchs. That's how the studies would like basically people who identify as male. But are just like, I want my balls cut off. I think it would make me feel better. And most of the time it actually does. So it turns out you should just let people have bodily autonomy. Mm-hmm. But they actually had like pretty like fine health outcomes. And in one study actually found like, you know, a longer life expectancy in male eunuchs. And like, that's one study. And like, you really...
Also, like, the thing that actually like I thought about this, thought about like historically eunuchs have been a thing. Throughout time, and they don't just like drop dead after a couple of years. In fact, they tend to live a while. Right. So I was like,
you have to like kill them in the imperial court eventually. They're wily, you know. Like,
well, without the balls, nothing's holding them back.
It's the same thing with trans women. It's a significant debuff, I think. And like,
actually, trans women retain their advantage from before transition. The latest studies have shown this.
What if I was at a disadvantage before transition and I'm still at a disadvantage?
You were. This is a thing, actually. Wait, okay, so I'm gonna. Where was I at? Oh, I was like worried. I was like, well, what if I can't get my testosterone? What if I don't have hormones? Yeah. And it took me being like, actually, I would be fine. But after I had surgery, I realized like, holy shit. Like, I like thinking about that after surgery is when like the phrase detransition or death like really clicked for me of just being like, actually, I wouldn't. If you made me go back to my old body. I don't want to die, but like I don't.
Same. No, hard.
Dying
same.
Is above having to detransition in that way for me. You know what I mean? Like I'll play with gender, but for me, and again, this is just for me. Like the body's non-negotiable. You know what I mean?
That's sort of the thing. Is it's not like if I independently came up with, oh, I would like to do that. That's one thing, but it's more of the concept of being.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, because it's about...
This is also just a concept right now. But actually, I don't like that because, no, there is legislative oppression happening centered around HRT. Like, I can't just say, oh, this is just some silly theoretical. Like, HRT supplies have been limited in states. There are people who are doing work to mitigate that from, like, a non-medical standpoint right now because people are scared about it.
The state of trans healthcare is quite bad right now, actually.
Is this part of your spiel?
Yeah.
Of getting to the spiel?
Yeah, but maybe we should wait for Maxell.
Oh, should we wait for Maxell? Oh, I'm so excited for the spiel.
Where were we?
I wanted to hear your spiel. Maxell is back.
We can go into my spiel. It's all tied up. My spiel is this. Insurance coverage for gender-affirming surgery has increased in the last half decade. And with that, the number of surgeons performing gender-affirming surgery has increased, which on its face seems like a good thing. However, many surgeons are weird freaks. Like in fact, a good number of them. Because cutting on people all day in and out kind of means you either have to be a It kind of means you have to be a weird freak, and sometimes they're good weird freaks, and sometimes they are not good weird freaks. Surgery also makes you fucking rich. Hospitals charge upwards of $35 a minute for OR time. So that's the hospitals making, like, tens of thousands of dollars for any surgery that happens. My bottom surgery, I think my insurance paid $200,000 for.
My bill was, like, upwards of... I mean, I was possibly in that range.
My surgeon
too.
Tried to bill for like $600,000, and the insurance denied it.
Yeah, but like, that's just, like I didn't pay. I want to be clear. I didn't.
Yeah, that's
pay
how billing
close
works.
To that. That's but, the Which, but no, like whatever, if that's like the
my insurance then, paid so, out like whatever. Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. So suddenly you've got insurance coverage, which makes something feasible as a source of revenue. And you've got a population of people who are kind of desperate because the number of surgeons doing these surgeries is so low. Wait lists are years long. So you have this huge source that could be for you have this huge potential revenue source, and you have a population where you will never run out of patients to operate on. And some surgeons saw this and were like, that sounds like money. Some surgeons are actual monsters. Like, there is a surgeon who's a very notable surgeon. Not so much now because his work has been getting worse, but who has like a whole, it's Jess Ting at Mount Sinai. He has a whole movie about him and how great it is that he works with trans people. And like, I can't get into the specifics of things that I've seen working with patients of Jess Ting, at my job, but like things that in my uninformed legal opinion, one could allege would constitute medical malpractice. I'm not claiming that Jess Ting has done medical malpractice. I'm not saying that. But in my uninformed opinion, I think one could allege that. But he gets away with it because he's working on trans people. And this is something that there's a fucking historical basis for. I want you to go Google a guy named John Ronald Brown.
Hey, quick first editor's note, trigger warning of the season. The next 2 minutes are a little rough when it comes to describing medical brutality. So you're going to want to skip ahead at least 2 minutes if that seems like something you're not up for hearing about. We try and do trigger warnings sparingly. It's 4 a.m., so I'm not doing a very good one, but yeah. Or Google his name and figure out, you know, how much you want to know. It's not for me to. I'm fucking tired. Good night.
He used to do bottom surgery on trans women in hotel rooms with insufficient anesthesia, with scalpels so dull that he had to saw to break the skin. I'm sorry, I just launched right into a lot of medical gore. That's we should do a trigger warning for that. But he didn't get in trouble really until he killed a cis guy. Like, he just kind of like killed multiple trans women doing these fucked up surgeries. He probably disabled a fuckload more. And he didn't get in trouble until he hurt a cis person. And so like that's in the 70s. So you have this kind of storm of there's a lot of money to be had because it's covered by insurance. There's a lot of people who want it, who can't really do anything who have very little recourse, and who kind of like there's like not a good body of medical science about trans people because nobody gives a fuck about us unless they want to fuck us. And so there's no research on it.
Or the research that's there is like, are they going to die in 5 years? Yeah. If they like whatever. And yeah. It's like,
yeah, I mean, and so built into it too, of like, in order to get surgery, you have to literally, your letter has to say like, this person does not leave the house because of their dysphoria. This person's life is like ruined. It doesn't.
Well,
like,
I will say my letters didn't have to be like that.
Can I speak to that?
Yeah.
Because my letters very much did.
Yeah.
Got on Medicaid last year and essentially in passing was told by my therapist, you know, we could get you FFS, like very casually. And I went, really? It's that easy? And she was like, yep, it's free. We just have to write you a letter. And then our next therapy sessions, our next three, started off with me going, oh, I would love that. By the way, can we do that? I have this template here for you to sign so we can get this rolling. And she said, no, the U of M program requires an entire process. We went through about three, like, 2 hour sessions of just that continuously. If you've seen Blade Runner and the scenes where they're like calibrating to figure out if you're a human or not, it was a lot of that, a lot of a turtle flips over on the hot sun and it's baking on its back. It was insane. It was being, having been exposed to like informed consent and then like DIY HRT, going back to like, why do you think you tried to kill yourself when you were 14? How much of it do you think is tied to this? They're going to want to know that. How much of it can you tie to it? Just continuously.
Yeah. I mean, I know Andrea Long Chu. I personally have beef with some of Andrea Long Chu's writing. I'm not that familiar with it, but she did write that op-ed. This is actually the main thing I'm familiar with, so I shouldn't act like I'm more familiar than that. But she wrote an op-ed for the New York Times a while ago. Like years ago.
About how she needed her bottom surgery.
Yeah, she was like, my bottom surgery, my new vagina won't make me happy and it shouldn't have to. And she starts off by being like, the worst thing that's ever happened to me was being trans. And also just like, you know, like she's like, yeah, for the rest of my life, my body will regard this as a wound and it will require regular painful dilation. And it's
so fucked
and
up.
And just in case anybody is thinking about bottom surgery, like bottom surgery that's like heals correctly and all of that, like that is not the case. Like it's not your body, your mind adjust. Like she hadn't had bottom surgery when she wrote this, but
she hadn't.
Oh, I didn't realize.
No, it's written in the lead up.
Written, like right before.
Yeah,
she writes in a way that like she knows this is gonna get a shitload of attention, and of course, I don't know if it's her problem if it's going to be cited by like you know transphobes or whatever, but like. I don't know. It's weird because it's like, of course, the New York Times published it. Like, she should absolutely be able to write that. I read that as well. Her hit piece on Jill Soloway is kind of funny. And, I forget what it was called. The first one she got famous for, I'll find it, was yet again, Society for Cutting Out Men is an excellent name for transsexuals.
That's a great one-liner.
Yeah, she's got some zingers.
But the point she makes that I think is like a worthwhile point is that like we shouldn't have to be like my life will end if I don't get this surgery because it can be that big, but it's also like I don't actually remember the op-ed that well. So this is more just what I think.
The important thing is that you want it.
Yeah, like the important thing is that you want it, and like it is proven. Like medically proven treatment.
It's also for just a problem. Like it's such a I don't know, the idea of like the fundamental mistrust in the medical system is really frustrating to me because it's like from my perspective I'm like it's the most painful difficult process I've been through in my entire life and
who would
it's like
undergo
the
it?
Huh?
Who would undergo
yeah.
it?
I right, other. The idea that I'd be like and the idea too that like I believe you know that you could be like okay I think I want it, and then you go through all that and then whatever and you're like okay turns out I didn't want it but it's like okay well like you're an adult and you can like learn to live and move on and like deal with the consequences of your actions. Like this idea that like regret is the worst possible thing that could exist is really.
And the other thing is that surgical regret tends to be much more about surgical outcomes than the surgery itself, because I think there's a really wide range of surgical outcomes. And this is kind of what I'm building to is like, because we have to push so hard and basically say that our lives will end if we don't get this surgery, if there's something wrong with the results, it's really hard, especially because you've just like irreparably altered your body. It's really hard to say the person who I entrusted with my body did a bad job, made a mistake, like perhaps was not deserving of that trust. Because, like, that's essentially what you're doing when you're going for surgery is you are saying, I trust this person to change my body in the way that I want it to
incredibly
be.
Incredibly intimate.
It is. It is literally as intimate as you can be.
Yeah.
With a complete stranger who's probably a psychopath from Yale.
And also not conceiving
and
of this
is,
intimacy.
And this is, yeah, like, this is kind of where I'm going is, like, it's really hard to talk about when surgery has like bumps in the road or even like really bad, like catastrophic. There's some girl that I used to be in a surgical Discord who, and if she's listening to this, I just like, I don't know if that's likely or not. I mean, maybe I won't go into someone's specific story because I don't want her to listen to this and then feel bad. But basically someone who's like, regular who had bottom surgery and then needed a couple revisions and like regular bodily function beyond just like her vagina was like altered in like a pretty serious way. And like that's an example of like being I don't know, but my guess would be that if you go through three surgeries, three revisions, I don't know. I guess I shouldn't say because I don't actually know. But I think regardless of like whether there was like doctors not doing enough or anything, like that's a pretty serious thing. And you had to fight so hard to get this. And now you're at this point. How the fuck are you going to turn around and say like, I wish I had like, because it's like, A, once your body's changed like that, like when I like first like looked at my body after surgery and it was like swollen as shit and there was blood everywhere and like I could barely walk right, I was still like, well, no, this was the right choice. You know, I started to question it more once I got into like the really like the trenches of recovery. But that was always like, maybe I should have gone zero depth so I didn't have to dilate. Mm-hmm. But like, it was just, I was like, no, that's right.
Did you, I don't know, I woke up and I was like immediately like, oh yeah, that's the shit.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was like kind of not. And so once you have that experience, you're not going to be like, well, no, I wish I hadn't. Like, that's what I think that people like to throw around the like 1% regret rate thing, because like 1% regret rate on a medical treatment is like,
that's a miracle.
It is.
But knee transplants have like a 30% regret rate. Like,
but the thing that's tough about that is I think it flattens it, because when like what Sasha was saying, like you wake up and you're like, that's right. And then there's, and I'm talking specifically about bottom surgery because that's the one I've had. You wake up and you're like, that's right. This will heal. It's going to be a process. And then a year later, like you're still in pain. And, like, your shit's still kind of fucked up. And your body is, like, you know, kind of completely out of shape. And, like, I've had a really long journey with bottom surgery and chronic pain that's related to, like, my own kind of, like, PTSD prior. And I'm still, like, dealing with it in some ways.
Well, because, like, the thing about, too, that, like, I've been really dealing with lately is that, like, recovery is, it's actually really funny. Last time I was on the podcast, it was, like, 3 months in or something, and now, yeah. Now I'm 9 or 10, and it's, like, really, really setting in how long a process this is, both it's physically really and also emotionally. It's, yeah. like, really been hitting me, especially because, mm-hmm. like, I lost my entire summer, and I'm like, I have a lot of feelings about that.
I lost people again. Who I thought were my friends. You know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah.
And this is where it also ties back into a larger conversation about disability that I think trans people are often hesitant to have. But yeah, like bottom surgery is a fucking multi-year process. And I absolutely would not go back and change anything, right?
I, like, physically shudder at the thought.
Yeah. Like, it's just, I can't even remember what my body used to feel like, and I don't want to. So if you ask me if I regretted it, no. If you asked me if I was happy, I was miserable through so much of this recovery. I was so depressed, because post-op depression is a fucking thing. When you go through, because we don't talk about surgery as a trauma. Surgery is a massive trauma to your body, right? And your body has a response to that. Even if, and it's the same thing with like postpartum depression, right? This idea that women get depressed after they give birth. Yeah, they're going through like one of the most insane things that can happen to a human body. And then they're expected to just like care for a child. And this is why I'm like, we need regular feminism, not just like trans feminism, right? Because there's, yeah. and even in how like post-op care is done, it's so similar to postnatal care. Like if you try to Google like your post-op like care, you'll find like mommy blogs that are like silver nitrate treatment.
this is really funny to just me.
But or like the pelvic floor PT that like everyone who gets bottom surgery like really, really should be doing, but that most surgeons don't even recommend.
It's insane to me. I like mentioned it to my surgeon and she was like, oh yeah, I guess you could do that if you want. I'm like, No. This is like this is necessary.
It's,
like,
it's really
fuck the way. Like, and don't get me started on the way they communicate about dilation.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're kind of going off.
We're going on for anyway. I can wrap up.
But, something I wanted to say real quick that you said this to me a couple months ago or whatever that I really appreciated, which is just that like you do have the rest of your life to learn how to deal with it and to learn how to like live with it and like and this is because this is something that like I feel like a lot of girls get surgery and it's not even like they deal with it okay and whatever, but they like have these expectations on it and they like, you know, they really like are asking a lot of it and like, okay, I got the surgery now and I got like whatever, and it's like, honey, you have like, this is a whole new set of things to deal with, and it's healing, and it's whatever. Like, and like I say that, like I'm not even a year.
But
in,
even
you know?
Even getting to the surgery feels like such a monumental task.
Oh my god! And
that
then
you think you're done, and then I came home from the hospital after like a week in the hospital, and I was like, I'm gonna be fine in 3 months. I'm a year and a half out now. I have. Oh man, I'm trying to think how. How gross I'm gonna get on a podcast.
You've gotten pretty gross already.
Yeah, this one's like, okay, y'all know what an anal fissure is? It's a thing that can happen. What happens though is if your pelvic floor is chronically tight, it doesn't get enough blood flow, so it doesn't heal. So for about the past 6 months, I've had an anal fissure that's like really painful and like very much interrupts my, and is like the reason I couldn't go to the Crush Fun show last night, is because I was in that much pain. You can't talk about that though, because you'd be like, my anal fissure's acting up.
And then you went on a podcast about it, so
sort of a bulletproof excuse, really.
Say, if you're gonna use that as an excuse to get out of going to a show, Crush Fun might be.
I really wanted to see it too, and apparently it was good. But I think if that, I can,
the pit would have made it worse.
Well, because the thing is that it's related to my body's state of sympathetic nervous activation. Mm-hmm. That sounds pseudoscience-y.
It isn't. Those are all scientific.
Like this is something I did learn about in my MS program that I didn't finish, but I was in it and I got really good grades.
The pelvic floor stuff gets like, it's like, it'll be like half ooh-wooey and like, or like, or not ooh-wooey, like woo. I don't, there's like a word, you know, where it's like, this thing is real, this thing is not. A lot of that stuff gets really close to the line has been my, because I'll be like, oh, like I get it. Like, you know.
Science is so fucking misogynistic. That's the thing. And medicine has misogyny built into it so deep that like the pelvic, like if anyone who has had serious pelvic floor issues knows, well, I guess I can't say anyone, but many people I've spoken to who have had serious pelvic floor issues know exactly what I'm talking about, where like, it is connected to your mood. It's connected to your like body's physical like tiredness. It's connected to like how stressed you are in that given moment. It's
the white lady's being
breathing.
Like, you tend to hold stress in your pelvic floor. I'm like, is that true? And I've been noticing it. Though I've been like, fuck.
Because those muscles, most of those muscles are not consciously controlled, and so when your body's in a state of stress, they just tense. And If your quad, for instance, is completely like tensed, do we need to move on?
I'm actually curious, how much of this is what you wrote in that?
None of this
thing
is what's in my notebook. This is just stuff.
You
that
just
I
get
know
surgery, and then pelvic floor starts being. I did not like. I don't know that the word pelvic floor was in my brain at all before surgery.
Maxwell, what do you think? Do we let him keep going?
Because we've been going,
it might be time to, I think we've gone off.
Yeah, we can move
bit
on.
This
to
has been bottom surgery.
It's also
hour,
almost 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
You kind of don't stop talking about it when you start.
It's sorry. Yeah, it's really. I figured this might happen with both of us on.
The thing is,
I've been thinking how I just want to capture a side profile photo of me and just write, Justine's work is getting worse.
Oh, fuck, dude.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fucking fine. I didn't actually. I'm not upset with my work. I'm sorry, it's, oh shit, what up, girl? I'm sorry, I didn't mean
it's
to
okay,
make you uncomfortable. Right. Like, also, he was the doctor that made me feel the least uncomfortable in the 30 seconds we talked.
Yeah.
You know, which is like, how you have to make a decision about who's going to alter your body forever.
Yeah, I know, it is kind of crazy.
He really is up his own ass with all that.
Treasured friend and guest of the podcast, Wolf, has arrived. She smells slightly like tobacco and has a lucky rabbit's foot around her neck. Did you bring me a Red Bull?
I did bring you a Red Bull.
Yeah, I need caffeine.
I got so many fucking energy drinks.
Well, sure.
Grubhub. Who has what?
Oh, wait, can I get the classic?
Yeah.
I feel like one of the issues with bikes is that, like, it's very difficult to translate. My cock hurts. My ass hurts. God damn. It's kind of difficult to, like, translate the physicality or, like, the physical sensation of riding into words.
Mm-hmm.
So it's insane because, like, if you had the ability to, like, fly, you would never shut the fuck up about it, despite no one else being able to experience
it. Yeah.
But what it sounds like is I'm just kind of cockily being like, I've got a motorcycle, whereas actually it's like, I've got this, I get on this machine and suddenly, like, I can move in a way I have never moved before, and I can interact with a tool in a way that, like, feels like, I don't know, being physically present for, like, the performance of a symphony, but you are, like, within the instrument.
I think it's really beautiful. I think, like, the joy, I think for me, like, when I hear you talk about it, it's just, like, sheer joy, and it's, like, this, like, authentic, like, and, like, pleasure even, right? Of, like,
I got one out of poverty. I got one because I was living in Detroit, and I was surviving fucking, like, bicycling, like, an hour back and forth, or taking the bus from one side of the city to the other, and it was fucking miserable, and the bus system does not work in Detroit. It's got the AM rollout rate for DDOT is 93%. The PM rollout rate for DDOT is 67%. That is the lowest in the country next to San Antonio. If you are a grandmother and you want to get to one side of Detroit for the other, you've got your doctor's appointment, there is a 33% chance that your bus isn't even going to make it out of the garage. So I bought a bike just out of fucking poverty. And then, like, very rapidly, very early in my transition, when I had, like, no wardrobe, no clothes, no social circle, and was working a fucking dead-end job where I would only get misgendered for fucking $18 an hour, suddenly getting access to this machine that, like, sounds contrived and silly, but, like, did not care about any aspect of my body and, like, only responded in this hairline life or death. If you pilot me sufficiently, you are going to experience unparalleled joy, freedom, and it's going to cost you $10 a tank. If you fuck up, I will kill you. It's very nice and binary in that regard. And then, like,
it's, like, real, right? Like, there's no nuance to it.
There's none. Mm-hmm. The nuance comes later when you, like, start getting further along in transition and you realize, like, oh my God, I really like my body. And, like, oh, when I fell that one time and sprained my wrist, actually that fucked up my hand. And, like, I might not die, but I'm certain the feeling of my femur pushing through my thigh when I hit the side of a truck going too fast is not going to be pleasant if I do survive. Eventually, you do have to rein it in, and I feel like the thing that kills a lot of motorcyclists isn't necessarily cars, even though cars are dangerous and a menace to pedestrians, and it isn't, like, automotive design, even though that is what kills a lot of people. It's failing to engage with the bike in the mentality that it isn't just binary. And at a certain standpoint, it's far more likely that you're going to just survive and suffer a immensely reduced quality of life, because for 15 seconds, you did not have the self-discipline, the mentality, and the sobriety to engage with this machine in a way that it's not going to kill you. Wear your helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta read we were talking about the, like, surgery letters.
Yeah.
So, like, it was funny because my therapist, who I really like, he was like, hey, you know, of course I'll write this letter for you. I'm really happy for you, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know how he phrased it, but, like, insulting that this even has to be done. And, you know, I was like, I didn't get it for a second. I'm like, oh, because you think I'm gonna read it and get upset that the person I've been confiding in for, like, 5 years. And I was like, my notes for the first surgeon consult. 33-year-old trans woman / non-binary, gender non-conforming. Okay. Present for evaluation, FFF surgery, was referred to by online research, transitioned socially 3 years ago, started hormones 1.5 years ago. Patient has severe intractable dysphoria on a daily basis That is a consequence of her masculine facial features. She has tried numerous conservative measures to improve dysphoria, such as makeup and hairstyle, which have failed. She is most bothered by her masculine nose, chin, and Adam's apple, which is funny because, like, they actually were like, we're not doing your Adam's apple. It could make your voice deeper.
But you need to list those specific features. Because every procedure in an FFS is its own thing. So, like, a rhinoplasty is different than, like, a jaw or, like, cheekbone osteotomy. Like, you need each specific procedure listed, so your letter has to be like, she hates her face, she hates her nose.
I don't think anything was wrong about this letter. I was just like, it's very funny.
I could write a book about
what's wrong with that letter. Like,
it's fucked up.
But it's like, that's what they have to do.
Yeah.
I also like, it's just funny because I'm like, I haven't tried makeup. Like, hairstyles. Yeah, I tried my hairstyle too.
But you have to.
I've never used makeup.
Okay, but then here, what? She works as unemployed, usually does quote-unquote odd jobs. DJ, artist, lives in Brooklyn. And I think there was a point where part of this I used as like a field profile or something. Nice.
He doesn't even have to like write that part out. That's just story. In the template.
Oh, wait. It sucks. Can I get a lighter or something?
Real downers.
Yeah, I know. I'm
such a downer.
I matched with this woman. She didn't have any. I realize it's not like the greatest story. She had no face pics, and like whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was also like, it was like, I'm kind of asexual, but sometimes looking to be dommed.
Is that chick who got really fucking weird about it, right? Like,
yes, but this is gonna be the conclusion of this. But anyway, I don't know how to exactly say this, but her voice was consistent in her writing and being a weird, like, not even tender queer, but whatever. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm in Lefferts. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Because, like, I don't know that many trans women in South Brooklyn. I don't know that many 34-year-old trans women in general. I was just excited to, like, meet her. I didn't really care about not having face pics. Because she was like, she said something like, touchy intimate walks in the park or some, you know, some shit that I was like, okay, this is definitely not a chaser. Yeah.
Touchy intimate walks in the park.
I don't know.
Just walking, like, she was like grabbing their boob.
That's what she said. Like, but, so
that's
anyway,
not what I was picturing.
But I just mean that, like, yeah, I was like,
yeah.
Okay, I was just kind of like, okay, whatever. Like, you know, I actually would be down to just walk in the park.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, some like someone that lives like 2 miles away, and she's like, oh, I'm like, I'm in and she's like, what avenue? And I just was like, hey, do you have an Instagram? And she said something like, yeah, but I'll give you that like after we meet up or whatever. Instead of just unmatching, like, I was like, no, this is, I thought about it, I'm like, this is really uncool, actually. Like, you just asked what avenue I lived on. Like, you're asking somebody to meet up with you, like, not knowing what you look like. I was just like, this is just super uncool. And I explained it. And anyway, and then she was just kind of like, because she was like, oh, yeah, I'll send you, like, body shots. I'm like, no. And she was just like, what I think she was trying to do was be like, look, I'm a transman. Like, I'm, like, I think she was worried that I thought she was, like, a cis dude or I don't know. And, like, I'm not worried about that. I just don't like when women are shitty with me. And she sends me a fucking picture of the fucking IKEA shark. She's like, does this mean anything to you? And I'm like, it means a lot of things. I have like, it turns me into that bitch we were talking about earlier, where I'm like, you're all gonna make women get killed. Like, but for real, she
maybe you specifically.
Yeah, exactly. No, okay. Well, here's where it gets weird, and it's like, I understand that here's it could go in either direction, but she then sends me, she's like, or what about this? And she sends me the Antifa Gold membership meme, which is a trans pill thing.
I don't even know what that is.
It's just like, it was thing on, you know, the Instagram trans pill.
I know one of the former admins. Yeah. Actually, I know both of the former admins.
Yeah.
Okay. And, I never saw the page, though.
So somebody sending me my ex's meme.
Yeah.
On Field.
Yeah.
Like, which, and then I was just kind of like, I basically was like, this feels oddly targeted. And she just was like, she said something like about, what are you, like, a niche internet micro celebrity? Oof. Like, because I'm kind of looking for that. And then like,
that's a red flag.
And then yeah, no, I mean, well, it. I was like, okay, so now that I actually know, I'm not a fucking whatever, but like, or maybe I am, but like,
she says on her podcast.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
That was a good jump in right
no,
there.
No, you're right. But like, I don't know. I'm like, okay, cool. So this person is just like sending me memes my ex made, and then making like jokes about referring to like kind of like knowing who I am, and knows what I look like, and won't send me Facebooks. And then like, I just like was like, yo, I really. She's like, so you don't want to come and get coffee with me? And I'm like, no, I don't think that's cool. She said that it was a boundary in her relationship of not sending out face pics.
That's
she also didn't mention having a partner until that. And then I was just like, yo, I really don't fucking, like, I don't think this is cool. It makes me feel like not particularly safe. It feels pretty targeted and weird that you're doing this, you know, like sending me this shit.
Yeah.
And then she just wrote like, oh, are you a Cancer? Which I am. And then I was just like, I just said I smoke a lot, and then she unmatched me. And, like, so that story actually sucks. I'm sorry. But, like, it just, like, I hate that woman, like, a lot. I was, like, trying to figure out how I could figure out who she was and, like, fight her. Like, I'm not even kidding. That was my reaction. Like, yeah, I'll probably cut that.
I was going to say, do you want to let her hear this?
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I hope you yourself. I'm sorry. That's too far.
I do think that there's, there's like
a right time to tell people themselves.
No, I think there's a trust exchange on like the dating app thing, you know, of like, I just hate when guys on Grindr, for instance, don't have a face pic. And it's like if you are trying to hit on me on Grindr and you don't have a face pic, I already know what you think about me. Like, if you're so ashamed to be here that you can't show your face, you think I'm a fetish item, you want something from me as the image of me that you've constructed in your head, right? And so it's just kind of this thing of, like, you build trust by, like, having a mutual level of vulnerability. In the case of a dating app, that's like, you can see my face, I can see your face.
I think people will try to in its stead, especially if you're, like, a lonely, weird, obsessive trans girl, and maybe one of the girls who you like know of in the periphery pops up. Instead of giving away any of that vulnerability, you can instead presume a high level of familiarity and just assume that that gives you like a cool, like callous, oh, you know, haha, we're already buddy buddy. That's like one of the effects of parasociality, right? It's like, there's this assumption that, like, we know people when actually you only know really the media that they put out, and what it results is shit, like, what you got to experience, Maxwell.
It's fun.
Like, haha, see, I'm trans too, and even though you were just going, like, listen, I don't know who you are, I would like to meet you, it was more of just like a, no, see, internet thing.
I had a really wholesome Grindr interaction when I was up by Peekskill, where I go sometimes, and this guy messaged me, like, it said T for T on my thing, but like, had a face pic on his profile, didn't just send pics, and it's just like, hey, how are you doing tonight? And he was like handsome, kind of beard flannel tattoo guy, and I was like, I'm a lesbian, but you're going to make some straight girl very, very happy. And he's like, oh, thank you so much. And I'm like, yeah, for real. Like, go and get him. Go get him, Tiger.
Why is he on Grindr, though?
Because he's a trans girl.
Yeah. Sorry, I just... Oh, God, dude, we're going to do that. Wait, why wouldn't he be on Grindr? To fuck trans women.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There are straight trans women on Grindr.
God bless them.
Because I get curved by straight trans women on Grindr constantly. Well,
this is why we all should have. This is why we all should have watched Envy Desire. But still,
no.
Just wanna hear girls talk.
patient has severe intractable dysphoria on a daily basis.